Our next guest, Joe Cione, is dead serious when it comes to weather. He's a scientist with the Hurricane Research Division at NOAA's Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory. When sane people are scrambling to get out of the way of a hurricane, Joe is the guy who's flying straight into it. This summer, he hopes to deploy a new tool that could drastically increase our understanding of how hurricanes develop, a weather drone. Producer Taylor Quimby caught up with Joe to get some details.
Joe, tell me a little bit about these drones that you're going to be sending into hurricanes. What do they look like, and I guess what kind of data are they collecting?
Okay, they are 7 pounds, so they're small, and about a 4-foot wingspan. We deploy them from our manned aircraft, which are called P-3 Orions.
And those fly over the storm?
No, we fly through the storm, but we don't fly very low. We fly, typically in a hurricane, 10,000 feet, sometimes 5,000 feet high. But we don't like to go lower than that due to the safety risks involved, obviously, in a hurricane. The existing way we measure now is we drop something called GPS drop zones.
Mm-hmm.
You could sort of think of it as a straw, sort of. It falls from the bottom of the aircraft, and it samples pressure, temperature, winds, and moisture as it goes down and until it hits the ocean surface. So that's okay. That works. That's our existing technology. The difference is that if we use these Coyote unmanned aircraft that I just described, comes out in a similar fashion from the P-3. We launch it through a tube, and then the wings sprout, and within 30 seconds, it's airborne. We command and control it from the aircraft. We can command and control it actually from anywhere. We can do it thousands of miles away. But it measures the same quantities, pressure, temperature, winds, and humidity, but it stays up for a couple hours.
So it can basically fly a circle through the hurricane.
Well, it can do anything we tell it to do. And, within reason. You can't go against the winds because we essentially have to fly with the currents of the winds because it's just not powerful enough to overtake the winds. But it can go up, down, sideways, and it stays up for hours. It's sort of a movie versus a snapshot.
So they must be pretty durable, I would think, to hold up in a hurricane.
This is a demo project. We have never done this before. We are very hopeful that it will survive, but we can't guarantee that it will. So beyond the science that we want to do, it's also just an engineering effort to make sure that these can in fact, survive under the high wind conditions that we will expose them to.
I would think they're pretty costly, too, so the stakes are kind of high.
Well, with anything that's sort of one-off, onesies, twosies, not in production mode, the costs are higher than they would be. But I think economically these will be a much better value than the drop zones because of what I just described as sort of a data per minute. You know, we're looking at how much data we can get. So if we can get hours and hours of data versus a few minutes of something that, you know, the drop zones are not cheap to begin with, I think that this is actually not only going to make sense from a science standpoint, but it's going to make sense economically. Sure, at this point, if you actually get down to the dollars per unit, it's expensive, but the expense goes into operations of it, testing of it, making sure that the engineering is indeed correct. This is actually a good example of leveraging military assets. These were originally designed by the Navy, and they use P-3s for sub hunting. Through the contacts that I've had and working, collaborating with different partners, we hear a lot of stories where, you know, government gets slammed a little bit. But this is a great example of interacting and then transitioning, you know, military technologies to the civilian sector that hopefully we think can improve our understanding, but also save lives and protect property.
You know, when I think about hurricane forecasts, I think, you know, we've obviously come a long way in the past couple decades. So I guess what sort of storm scenarios do you think we could really improve upon at this point?
Actually, that's really only partially true, your statement. Over the last 35 years, we've gotten markedly better at what we call storm track, basically where the storm is going to go.
Yeah, the cone.
Yeah, we've narrowed that cone down. But as far as the intensity, how strong it's going to be, we have made very little strides in the last 35 years. We have not at all conquered the intensity change issue. In fact, it's the biggest problem we have, and particularly the risk of rapid intensity change where we can get dramatic swings in intensity over a 24 to 48-hour period. So we are by no means are there. And this platform can really help us because it measures one variable that is very sensitive. The model, computer models, which mimic nature, are telling us that the sensitivity to moisture, atmospheric moisture, is huge. So if the models have, you know, initial conditions with X, you know, 85% relative humidity versus 50 or versus 60 or versus 90, those types of differences can have a huge impact on the future forecasts that the model give. And we have very little what we call thermodynamic data in this boundary layer region, the boundary layer being the lowest few thousand feet in the storm. Right now we have those sons I told you, those occasional measurements that have wind and that have temperature and moisture, but other than that, we don't have any. So this type of device can really improve the amount. Just forget about improving our understanding, which it can do, I think. But it also, just from a base standpoint, give us a whole lot more thermodynamic pressure, temperature, winds, and mostly moisture and temperature data that we do not otherwise get.
This might be a little philosophical for a weather question, I guess. But how much more accurate do you think we can really get when it comes to predicting storms? I mean, isn't there a ceiling for how good our forecasting can be?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But to get back to my original point, if your bar is laying on the ground, not even off the ground, or maybe a couple inches off the ground, you've got a long way to go before you can't hurdle it. And I think we've got a long way to go before we get to the point where chaos theory kicks in. I do think that you do bring up a valid point. I mean, weather is generally pretty chaotic. But I think that we have, the next 10 to 15 years, the computer models are advanced enough. The computers to do these calculations are advanced enough. We have these new technologies like the one we're discussing here today on your show, allowing us to target these data void regions. And I think our understanding will jump.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for speaking with us, and best of luck with the project.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That was Word of Mouth's own Taylor Quimby speaking with Joe Cione, a scientist with the Hurricane Research Division at NOAA's Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory. There are links to pictures and more on NOAA's new hurricane drone at wordofmouthradio.org.